The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you confused by legal issues like bankruptcy, divorce, or your constitutional rights? Let us help you sort out the legal process and make sense of the law for you. Welcome to Legal Sense with host and attorney James Andrews. We're ready to take your questions by phone or email and help you find the legal answers you need and the help you want. Now, here's James Andrews.
Good morning, and welcome to Legal Sense with James Andrews, and welcome to our second show. Before we get started, as always, I want to give thanks to Eva for helping produce this show, and for our engineers, the guys in the back room, specifically Brad. This morning, we've got an extremely exciting, extremely interesting show, very important and very relevant to today's real estate issues. Across the country, we know that people are dealing with short sales, foreclosures, bankruptcies, and an array of challenges in trying to figure out how to deal best with, as I call it, distressed property. And we've been blessed today to have three very distinguished, very knowledgeable guests. We have a Mr. J. Varney Barker, who's a successful real estate consultant and author of the book, The New Rules of Home Ownership. And he's going to be sharing with us over 25 years of experience, tips, and advice on how to best keep your home. Then we also have on the panel this morning a Mr. Kelly Cook, who's a local guy to me here in the Phoenix area, servicing Scottsdale and the East and the entire Valley, I'm assuming. He's an expert in short sales, having helped over 100 people to successfully short sell their home, but as importantly, complete that circle, getting out of their current distressed property and back into a new one. And then lastly, but definitely not least, we have attorney Kim Sedio, and correct me if I said that incorrectly, who's an attorney that will be discussing with us the subject of bankruptcy and how you can use that to restructure your financial situation to put you back in a proper position to go forward. But as you all know, we're taking calls and emails. If you have any questions or comments for the show today, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 866-472-5788. And for those that are tech savvy and prefer to go online, you can email us at LegalSense, that's L-E-G-A-L, Sense, S-E-N-S-E, at AndrewsLaw.pl, excuse me, I don't even know my own email address, huh? At LegalSense, at AndrewsLawPLC.com. And as this is a show about legal matters, got to give you the disclaimer. The attorneys appearing on this show are only providing general information about the law, not legal advice. Many laws are governed by state law, so many details and procedures vary state by state. If you have any questions regarding your specific situation, be sure to contact a qualified attorney in your jurisdiction very, very clearly. And then also, I want to make sure that if you go on air, please do not give specific addresses or full names. If you're challenged to do such, you can go ahead and submit those questions online, and we can adjust them accordingly. So having burst through all of that, I'm pretty excited to get into the subject matter of today's show. Let's get started with today's show. I wanted to talk first with Kelly Cook. How you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing well, James. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. As you guys can see, he's a very manly man, deep voice in the whole nine. So now I want to just jump right in with the big overarching question. We'll start broad and then narrow down. What is a short sale? Is it a sale of a small house, or what exactly is it?
Yeah, unfortunately, the short sale is kind of oxymoron from the standpoint that you think the sale, the transaction with the short sale would be short, but it's not. It's very long. But what it is, generally speaking, is when someone wants to sell the property and they owe more than what the house is worth, so they have to sell it short. And to do that, they have to get the permission granted to them by the lender that they have their mortgage with.
Right. So why has this become such a buzzword as of late? Is it something that was popular in the 80s and 90s? How come our parents didn't talk about this?
You know, because we probably never saw a housing market as bad as what we just went through, you know, probably since the Great Depression. But it's funny because back when we first started doing short sales in 2006, the banks didn't know what they were. I mean, they had no process, nothing specific to tell us what to do. It was kind of like the wild, wild west of real estate. So having to navigate those waters was a challenge. But now it's Phoenix is one of the first markets into the short sale game nationally. So We're probably one of the most experienced markets out there right now.
It's actually something I was listening to it this morning. I think statistically we're third. Oddly, I mean, I guess just by sheer numbers, California is number one. Mm-hmm. And if you were to guess who number two is, I was quite surprised. It's Georgia, actually. Georgia's mm-hmm. got the second most short sales in the country. But here we are, Arizona. I think one of the, not the most populous state, has the third most short sales in the country. And then you got the states like Nevada, Florida, and many of the more populated states in the Northeast.
Right.
But okay, so short sales obviously is something that's a newer phenomenon, you said, as we come through. Are you seeing, tell me about what you're seeing trends-wise. Are we seeing more? Are we seeing fewer?
Yeah, short sales have definitely decreased in the past several years. What you saw was 3-4 years ago, you saw a lot of REOs or foreclosures dominate the market here in Phoenix as the housing market tipped. And right now, short sales are the number two types of transactions out there or types of sales out there behind traditional sales. Okay. Traditional sales have made a comeback, especially with all the investors who are fixing up homes and reselling them or flipping them, so to speak. They're the most common sale out there now. Short sales are number two, and then foreclosures have decreased dramatically down to about 12% of the market or so.
Why do you think that is?
Because the banks have figured it out. And because Phoenix was one of the first markets into it, where it could be one of those scenarios where kind of first in, first out, maybe. We don't know yet as we navigate into 2013 here upcoming. But the market definitely has increased here in 2012. A lot of investor money, and we're talking big time money too, institutional money, 401k money, that kind of stuff came in the market to buy up homes, and they're going to hold these properties and rent them out for their return on for their investors.
Excellent. So now, as a homeowner today who's just trying to figure out what they should do with their home, and I'm going to ask this question of each of our panelists this morning about their specific area of expertise, why do a short sale?
I tell you what, it's a great option from the standpoint of you have only so many options out there. If you have to move, you're upside down, you have to do something. Maybe you have a financial hardship, maybe you have to relocate, whatever the case may be. If you have to do something, in our opinion, we're a little biased, but it's by far the best option out there because you can, instead of coming out of it with a deep cut, you have pretty much a scratch. That's kind of how we give the example on that, because right now you have basically, and I can go into this further, we can do it maybe later, James, if you have the schedule here, but you know, there's three main implications when dealing with a short sale. You have credit, you have tax, and you have deficiency, otherwise known as the lender's ability to collect.
Right.
And in Arizona, because of some of our statutes, which we'll get into, there's a lot better consumer protection, homeowner protection in this state, as with about 13 other states across the country. And so someone could do a short sale, come out of it, and really the only thing negative to some degree as current laws are in place, just have a credit ding that will last for just a couple of years.
Okay, good point. So now, having said the reason a party should engage in a short sale, talk me through that process.
Well, it's a really easy process. The nice thing about a short sale is people think, well, if I'm going to short sell my house as a traditional sale, I have to get it ready, I have to get it maybe staged, get it cleaned, all this and that. As a short sale, you don't have to do any repairs. We just ask that it's cleaned up a little bit, of course, but we will, because you don't have the money to do repairs on a short sale, right? So we just ask people to just clean it up, and we will take any consideration of repairs into our consideration of their asking price. So from that standpoint, starting a short sale is very easy. It's a basically a 1-2-3-step process. We contact a qualified representative like us, a short sale agent like ourselves. We've done over now close to 400 short sales. And then from there, we send them paperwork. We have a short sale welcome packet that has a step-by-step process. You can't mess it up, what we need to collect from you. You have the real estate, the state, local real estate documents that need to be done to make sure we're compliant with the state, Arizona Department of Real Estate. And then last but not least, we meet at the property. We take some pictures. We start marketing the property. And then once we have an offer, we do everything from there, from A to Z, start to finish, including negotiating. So the homeowner literally has to do nothing, and they don't have to pay anything. It is okay. A free service.
Let me ask you this, then. You said it's a pretty easy process, and that's something we could discuss. But one of the things you said, the banks have gotten it together. And what we found is some of the banks have.
Correct.
There's definitely been an improvement. Some of them still seem to be stumbling through the 20th century.
No question.
But with that said, what are some of the advantages, what are some of the challenges you see in getting these done in time frames? Because you know when someone contacts you, they want that house sold yesterday.
Correct, yeah. Correct. The challenges are specifics. For example, who is your lender? Who is the investor who holds the note that your lender may be servicing it for? For example, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the two largest investors out there in the country, they service the vast majority of loans out there, or excuse me, they own the vast majority of loans out there that banks just service them for. So you're paying your mortgage to Bank of America or Wells Fargo, but they don't actually own your note, Fannie Mae. So they have to get permission from Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Or there are private investors out there, such as SunTrust, E-Trade Financial, things of that nature, or entities of that nature. And then, of course, mortgage insurance. That's a big one. Mortgage insurance, if you have mortgage insurance on your property, we know, we dealt with all of them. We know there are certain mortgage insurance companies who are very hard to deal with and the ones who are a lot more easier to deal with. So we know going into it how to formulate our plan of attack to give the homeowner the most successful opportunity to get this done.
Okay. There are a number of questions I could ask you on short sale. We're going to try and cover during the course of the rest of the hour. But we talked about this very quickly before the show. Tell me, what's this mortgage debt forgiveness thing I keep hearing people talk about? This Debt Forgiveness Act, what does it actually forgive?
Yeah, huge hot topic right now because of the fact that it's set to expire end of this year, 2012, December 31st. Huge hot button right now. What that is designed to do is to basically not kick people while they're down. That's the best way we can put it in layman's terms. But what it's designed to do is that the IRS, prior to 2007, when this was passed, they considered any forgivable debt. So if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage and you short sell for $200,000, well, that $100,000 would be considered as quote-unquote phantom income, and so you would pay your income tax rate on that income. So if you make $50,000 a year, well, now all of a sudden you just made $150,000 a year in terms of your tax rate and what your taxable debt is. So from that standpoint, it's a great act because that eliminates that. So if you do that same scenario where you have $100,000 forgiven, now you do not have to worry about paying tax.
So all right. So the natural consequence of this Debt Forgiveness Act is that you don't pay taxes on the forgiveness as you would normally subsequent to a short sale.
Correct.
Okay. So tell me then, after this Debt Forgiveness Act has expired, why would someone want to do a short sale versus allow a foreclosure to occur or do a deed in lieu of foreclosure?
That's a good question. There's specifics in the law, and we could get really specific, and I encourage anyone to please contact us for more dialogue on this. But the specific in Arizona, for example, the only exemption on that in terms of qualified forgiveness sometimes can be through a trustee sale. Okay, so there's a difference between a trustee sale, a deed in lieu of foreclosure, and a short sale. But to answer your question, James, we feel that we're hopeful, I should say, we're hopeful that they do extend it to 2013. Right now, as the end of August, there was a bill passed through the Senate Finance Committee to extend it for 1 year through the end of 2013. Now, that does not make it official. It has to pass the Senate floor vote, but that's a good point, or it's good optimism, because typically when something passes that committee, it will get signed into law, hopefully.
That's interesting, because that question comes up a lot, and I honestly tell people individually, your decisions are going to, individual circumstances should dictate what you do, but one of the big advantages I see, tell me what your thoughts are, short sale versus foreclosure, people like control. In the midst of a down or distressed circumstance, people get depressed about it and want to know, hey, how long can I stay in this property? What kind of timeline can I get on? Short sale versus any of the other options, you get a little bit further in that. You get a little bit more control over the process.
Yeah, control's a big thing, especially from the standpoint. I'll give you a great example here. A real quick one is that if you are in control from the short sale standpoint, which you are, then let's say someone wants to offer $200,000 on your house, and that's market value. Great. Then hopefully that goes through and we short sell it and it's all complete. If you just say, I'm going to walk away, and market value truly is $200,000 on your house, well, when the bank forecloses, they could choose to sell it to an investor at auction for $160,000. If they want to, they can. And what they just did now to you is increase your liability $40,000, which never should have happened.
All right, we're actually getting ready to run into a commercial here. When we come back, we're going to finish up with Kelly, and we're going to run right into discussion about bankruptcy with Attorney Cidio. And we're going off the air now.
Free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
bankruptcy, real estate, injuries. Are your legal problems keeping you up at night? There is no law firm more dedicated to seeing you receive a desired outcome than the team of attorneys and legal professionals at Andrews Law. With over a decade of extensive professional experience, we are focused on giving our clients expert service and reasonably priced solutions to their legal woes. Our practice serves clients throughout the United States. We also deal with immigration and estate planning matters. We take pride in our successes and will always be honest, even if that means telling you that your case will not have the outcome you desire. Spanish speaking? We have resources to assist clients and communities who speak several languages, including French, Creole, and Farsi. If you need help, call us today to schedule a consultation. We can quickly determine the most cost-effective, efficient, and hard-hitting course of action for you. Don't settle for less. Get the best legal advice in difficult times. Call Andrews Law at 1-888-955-9111. That's 1-888-955-9111. Or visit AndrewsLawPLC.com. Andrews Law. Communication. Competence. Commitment.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. Tuned in to Legal Sense with James Andrews. If you have a question or comment for our show today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to legalsense@andrewslawplc.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay, we're back with Mr. Kelly Cook, who's discussing short sales with us. So, Kelly, tell us, just generally speaking, what other nuggets of information, other tidbits are there that a person that's considering alternatives to dealing with their distressed home should they know about a short sale?
The big thing I want to talk about real quick is credit. A lot of people think, oh, if I do a short sale, my credit will be destroyed forever. And that's not true. Right now, current guidelines, if you want to buy another home or have aspirations to buy another home in the future, right now, current guidelines are 2 years from the day your short sale is complete, and you can purchase again. The caveat with that is you do need to have 20% down. Otherwise, you may have to go 3 conventionally. But the great news is this, guys, is that if you want to qualify with FHA financing, which is only 3.5% down, you have to wait 3 years after a short sale. But if the reason you have to short sale is because you had a catastrophic loss of income, FHA will allow you to purchase a home right away after a short sale. So there's very, very little waiting time, which is a great thing. And the bottom line is you have to really try hard not to get your FICO score, your credit score, back up above like a 640, which is the minimum requirement to obtain a loan. Either try really hard not to get that done in 2 years. I mean, it's very hard.
You actually mentioned something. You said catastrophic loss of income. What other factors does the bank consider in approving a short sale? And do all short sale submissions get approved?
Okay. Good question, James. I mean, what I just talked about was trying to get pre-approved again in the future for another house. But on your current house, to short sell it, you have to have a qualified hardship, all right, qualified hardship. And what the banks, that could be a lot of different things. It does not have to be just financially. It can be family problems. It can be relocation. It can be a loss of job, which obviously probably would be financially. But it could be, excessive medical bills or excessive expenditures that got out of control. So any of those things, trust me, if you can think of some sort of little hardship, the bank will consider it.
All right, so this is your chance to give that self-promo, and then we're going to start a discussion about bankruptcies with Attorney Cedillo. Tell us why you're the guy.
Okay, two things. I'll sum it up really easy for you. Number one, experience. We've done close to 400 short sales now, dealing with every single lender, investor, mortgage insurance company out there you could possibly imagine. Okay, every scenario out there, we've done it, we've seen it. We have contacts with banks because of our good standing relationships with them and dealing with them so many times over the last 5 to 6 years. And number two, our success rate. If you come to us right now, we're about 95.3%, 95.2% success rate on all short sales we've taken since 2006. So there's a good chance you come to us, it will get done. So we always say, don't let a rookie out there kind of practice, or just someone who does one transaction a year, just practice on your short sale or work on your short sale from that standpoint, because we truly are short sale specialists. And we do have an office as well. We have a Phoenix-based office here, covering the entire Phoenix metro area and suburbs, and we do have one in Columbus, Ohio as well. covering the Columbus, Ohio area and all their suburbs also.
Now, what's your website? How can our listeners find you?
Perfect question. Two websites. Number one, our main website is kellycookhomes.com. Very easy, kellycookhomes.com. Our second one, which is a great one to go to if you want to find out your home's current value, okay? If we call it our home value calculator. So if you go to myhomevaluecalculator.com, you can put your property address in there. It will instantaneously tell you your home value, and then from there you can make a more informed decision on if you are upside down, how to best move forward with getting out of your current situation, because it will tell you exactly when your break-even point will occur, which is awesome. It'll tell you how long it will take you based upon three different appreciation scenarios in the market moving forward and how much it will cost you until you do break even.
Excellent, excellent. All right, so Kelly's going to stay on the line here with us to re-enter the conversation in a minute, but we're going to talk with attorney Kim Setio, who's a uniquely qualified attorney in that she specializes in helping distressed homeowners by providing a number of different sound solutions for restructuring their debt, as well as ways to potentially, if need be, dispose of, but also keep distressed homes. How are you, Ms. Setio?
I'm well today, James. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. So tell us a little bit about your practice.
I focus my practice on helping consumers and small business owners with their financial troubles. So predominantly bankruptcy work. Again, I meet with people on a daily basis to discuss their financial difficulties. Oftentimes, these individuals are also experiencing difficulties in making and staying current on their mortgage payments. So I'm seeing lots and lots of distressed homeowners in and out of my office and on my phone every day of the week.
Okay, so how bad is it out there right now?
It's going to depend upon the area that you're living in. Certainly some areas were hit much harder and have seen much greater depreciations in home values than others. I practice in New Jersey near the Pennsylvania border, so we do see people on both sides of the river there. In New Jersey, we have had some depreciation, not as marked as, say, maybe Florida or Nevada has, but, I mean, people are experiencing declining values in their homes and in certain circumstances, you know, increase in mortgages as, you know, mortgage payments as their taxes and other obligations increase.
So let me ask you this. This is kind of a very relevant subject matter. We just had Hurricane Sandy. Do you think, or how do you think that has or will affect your locale or the whole Eastern Seaboard?
I'm inland, so luckily I only suffered a few missing pieces of siding on my home and some loss of power for a couple of days. The shore was hit very, very hard, as I'm sure most people have seen in the national news. There are some programs that the state has rolled out to provide assistance, including reassessment of properties for tax valuations to help some homeowners there.
Okay. Now, I guess, you know, a lot of what occurs in the real estate market is causal, but it is also affected by local economies, you know, how small businesses are faring in the midst of, you know, the local economy. With being hit by the hurricane, what are your thoughts on how it's going to affect the income generation of local homeowners, of local business owners, thus the ability for local homeowners to stay in front of their mortgages and or how they may be able to leverage the bankruptcy laws in your jurisdiction?
I mean, certainly it'll be difficult, particularly for those that are out closer to the shore area. There are certain shore and resort areas that were hit extremely hard, and some beaches that don't expect to even be able to open for the 2013 season. So certainly any of the small businesses that operate in that area are going to be hit extremely, extremely hard. Listening to something as I was driving into work this morning about even areas such as Atlantic City, which the eye of the hurricane passed over that area, the damage is not the same as it is in other parts of our region, but already business owners are struggling there. And one business owner was indicating that he wasn't even sure if he was going to be able to make it to the tourist rush in the spring and then through the summer.
Okay, so I guess
so it's definitely going to have a very real impact on, you know, what the state economy is and what local economies are going to look like.
All right, so I guess we see that there's a need specifically in light of some natural catastrophe, let alone economic downturn, real estate crash, employment descent. So talk to us now then specifically about bankruptcies, specifically the forms of bankruptcies you do.
predominantly I file Chapter 7s and 13s, again, for individuals, whether it's for consumer debts, you know, that's usually going to be stemming from credit cards, medical bills, things of that nature, or small business owners who have had their businesses go under, either to do a bankruptcy for their business itself or to do a bankruptcy on an individual basis to eliminate some of maybe the personally guaranteed business debts that they have.
So a person walks into your office and they're like, I just need help. I have this house. I can't afford my mortgage payments. You know, my kids are screaming, my husband or my wife is yelling, and I don't know where the money's coming from. What do you say? What do you do with them?
You take a look at their financial circumstances. So it's a matter of looking at the whole big picture. It's not just the house, but it's taking a look at the house and the bills and the money coming in and the money going out to determine what the best strategy and what the best game plan for that individual is going to be. So when someone comes into my office for a consult, we run the gamut. It's, you know, everything from soup to nuts as to what their options are, as to evaluating the money coming in the door and evaluating the money going out the door. Now, with homeowners who are distressed, they've got a couple of options, some through the bankruptcy process itself and some through state programs that we have available as well. New Jersey and some other states also have rolled out loss mitigation programs that are available to individual filing bankruptcy, and what these loss mitigation programs are designed to do is to open up a dialogue, open up a channel for the homeowner to talk directly to the lender, and it's designed, particularly with lots of the major lenders, to expedite all of this.
Okay.
So oftentimes I have people coming into my office and they've been trying to work out a loan modification with their lender and they're talking to Peggy, then Sue, then Mary, then Jane, and
right,
they're just not getting anywhere. Loss mitigation is designed to speed that process up and also provide some relief to the homeowner on a more immediate level, because we are able to, at least on a temporary basis, reduce the homeowner's payment.
Okay, we've got about a minute until a commercial break, but what I want to ask you is really simply, Chapter 13 versus Chapter 7, and, you know, and no, there is no one-size-fits-all, but who would best benefit from a 7 versus who would best benefit for a 13?
Good candidates for Chapter 7s are those people who do not have a whole lot of assets or a whole lot of value in their assets. So if you're upside down on your mortgage, you know, Chapter 7 is going to be able to wipe out that credit card debt. You're going to be able to keep all of your property. That's because of Chapter 7's liquidation. If you're having trouble making your mortgage payments and maybe you're a couple of months behind, Chapter 13 might be a good option for you there, because it gives you the ability to catch up on those payments. So those couple of months of payments, instead of having to pay it to the mortgage company all at once, you're able to spread that out over a payment plan term of either 36 or 60 months, which can give homeowners some relief there.
Okay, so basically a 7, with a 7 you get to discharge all the unsecured debts that aren't attached to real estate or cars or things you can touch. With a 13,
correct,
you're going to pay off those things, but it's just going to give you a time span and make it a little more manageable.
Right. A Chapter 13 is going to involve a payment plan as to what the payment plan is going to include. That's going to be, you know, a case-by-case basis there. 13, again, is going to be able to give homeowners the ability to catch up. In certain circumstances, we're also able to strip off or eliminate and recategorize a mortgage that would be a secured debt to unsecured, treat it like a credit card if there's no equity.
Okay.
To secure and attach to that.
All right, we're heading into commercial break here in a second, but when we come back, we're going to speak a little bit further with Attorney Cedillo about the bankruptcy option. We're going to face that off with the short sale option, and then we're going to kind of get the new rules of home ownership from our third expert on the panel today, Mr. Barker. And we'll be back shortly.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
bankruptcy, real estate, injuries. Are your legal problems keeping you up at night? There is no law firm more dedicated to seeing you receive a desired outcome than the team of attorneys and legal professionals at Andrews Law. With over a decade of extensive professional experience, we are focused on giving our clients expert service and reasonably priced solutions to their legal woes. Our practice serves clients throughout the United States. We also deal with immigration and estate planning matters. We take pride in our successes and will always be honest, even if that means telling you that your case will not have the outcome you desire. Spanish speaking? We have resources to assist clients and communities who speak several languages, including French, Creole, and Farsi. If you need help, call us today to schedule a consultation. We can quickly determine the most cost-effective, efficient, and hard-hitting course of action for you. Don't settle for less. Get the best legal advice in difficult times. Call Andrews Law at 1-888-955-9111. That's 1-888-955-9111. Or visit AndrewsLawPLC.com. Andrews Law. Communication. Competence. Commitment. Streaming live. The leader in Internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com. Tuned in to Legal Sense with James Andrews. If you have a question or comment for our show today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to legalsense@andrewslawplc.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, welcome back. We're sitting here in the midst of discussion with the attorney, Kelly Cidio, in the Philadelphia area, serving the Philly area and the southern New Jersey Philadelphia metro. Another question for you here, and this is a question obviously people ask all the time. In a bankruptcy, can someone take their house?
Yes, in certain circumstances, a homeowner is at risk of losing their home in a bankruptcy. Now, great reason to go consult with an attorney before you file your bankruptcy petition because we are able to pinpoint those issues before filing. And if you're at risk for selling your home, then maybe a Chapter 7 liquidation is not the best bet for you. Maybe you would be better off in the Chapter 13, and then it's going to be looking at a payment plan over the course of time. So it's going to be somewhere between 36 and 60 months that payment plan would be in effect. And then at the end of the payment plan term, you would still receive the discharge, the elimination of debt, just as you would in the Chapter 7.
Let me ask you this. You know, it's kind of funny. Sometimes people walk into our office and they're just kind of scared to file bankruptcy. They, like, pull into the back of the office. They walk around front because they don't want anyone to see their car outside of a bankruptcy attorney's office. And they come in and under some guise of, wow, I hope nobody knows I'm here. And it's a lot of fear about who's going to find out that they filed. Talk to me a little bit about who gets notified that someone's filed bankruptcy, and is that public information?
Certainly, certainly. Actually, I guess our office is lucky in that our parking lot is in the back, so they don't have to park out front and worry if their friends are driving by or not. But no one is ever happy to be in my office sitting across my conference room table talking to me about bankruptcy. So I'm certainly sympathetic and empathetic to that. Bankruptcy, by and large, even though it is a public record, is a very private process. So, I mean, certainly your creditors are going to know that you filed bankruptcy. Anybody that's going to pull your credit report is going to see that you filed a bankruptcy. If you have any co-debtors, so if you co-signed a loan with your mom or your sister or your uncle, they're going to need to be noticed that you filed as well. Your nosy neighbor across the street that's, you know, hoping they get your mail or, you know, looking in the window to see what's going on at your house, it's very unlikely that they're going to find out. You know, the bankruptcy court does not issue a scarlet B. It's not, you know, like the scarlet letter all over again where you're going to be branded that you've gone bankrupt and everybody in the world is going to know. Your name's not going to be published in the newspaper. You know, bankruptcy has moved to an electronic filing system. So unless you're an attorney and you have a legitimate business purpose for obtaining this information, you know, you can't call me up and ask me to find out if your brother, sister, uncle, best friend filed bankruptcy. I can throw it into the system and give you that information unless you have a legitimate reason why you need to know that. You're a creditor or you're a party of an interest to their case.
Excellent.
You know, your nosy neighbor would have to go down to the courthouse and talk to the clerk and be able to get the information there.
Okay.
So, again, even though it is a public record, very private process, no one's going to know unless you tell them.
So let's kind of get back onto this issue of homeowners. Why should a homeowner file bankruptcy?
A homeowner should file bankruptcy just as anyone else who's experiencing financial difficulty should file bankruptcy. The way I often pose it to potential clients when they're coming in for consults is bankruptcy exists when you feel that you've fallen into a hole that you can't climb back out of yourself. I mean, bankruptcy is a very powerful tool, and it's able to really assist people and put them in a better position. It's designed to take you out of that hole that you can't climb out of on your own and put you back up on level ground. I mean, one phrase we often hear when bankruptcy is being discussed is a fresh start. It's designed to give you a fresh start. It's designed to eliminate or reduce the amount of debt that you owe so you can start over and you can start fresh. And for homeowners, that can be powerful if you're going to couple it with loss mitigation to, you know, try and refinance or reduce an interest rate or see if you can qualify for a loan modification. And a Chapter 13, if you've fallen behind and you need some time to get caught current, it provides you the ability to do that. And one of the most powerful things in bankruptcy is something called the automatic stay, which is basically a wall that goes up between you and your creditors. So if you are behind when you file your bankruptcy, that automatic stay is going to stop the mortgage company from coming in and being able to start a foreclosure proceeding without first seeking approval from the bankruptcy court. So it really can provide a sigh of relief for a lot of homeowners who are experiencing these difficult situations.
So why should someone come and see you?
Why should they come to me? I provide a very hands-on service. So I am here from you from the date that I meet you for the very first time until long after your case is done and over with. Oftentimes, you're not going to need me when your case is done and over with, but every now and again, I still get a phone call from someone who received their discharge a year or two or 3 years back because they need another copy of their discharge papers or they have a question about something. Or, you know, every now and again, I get the calls that every attorney loves to get, that they're in just such a better position than they were when they first walked through the door to me. So I'm here to hold your hand. I'm here to get you through the process start to finish. You know, I work in a law firm where we have over 20 years experience handling bankruptcy matters. So, you know, we know what we're doing. We do this day in and day out.
Kind of piggybacking on that question, I mean, what are the dangers of mangling a bankruptcy? I'm sure you've seen or gotten that call from someone who tried to do it on their own. What are some of the dangers in that for a homeowner?
And for the homeowner, again, if the analysis was not done correctly and you're filing a Chapter 7, you could be at risk of losing your home. So if there is equity that can't be protected or you're not underwater and you thought you were underwater, then you could potentially be at risk of having the trustee come in and force the sale of your home and then using the proceeds from that sale to pay off your remaining debt.
All right.
So it's a complicated, it can be a very complex process. I can't tell you how many times I've sat in bankruptcy court waiting for my case to be called and having a self-represented person, you know, a case or two before, and you know, the bankruptcy judges are encouraging people to go out and retain attorneys. So it can be a very difficult situation to try and navigate on your own when you have the experience of a bankruptcy attorney who does this and sees this day in and day out. You know, you've got somebody in your corner and there to, you know, it's not adversarial generally, but someone to fight for you and see your best interest and be able to troubleshoot issues and spot them before they become issues.
All right. So the first question on the street for both you and Kelly to address here is someone walks in and says, hey, I need help. I need to do a short sale or I need to file bankruptcy. Who wants to answer?
I'll take that. I would always tell people that you know, if there's any way you can do a short sale first, you want to do that. But obviously, if they have a lot of consumer debt and they have no assets, like she was saying, and they can get rid of it all at one fell swoop, then it probably is better to consult a bankruptcy attorney. But first and foremost, if they can do a short sale and be protected based on what we negotiate into their approval letter, then I always think that's a first start in terms of the best start.
What are your thoughts on that, Kim?
I agree with Kelly in that it's not just a one-issue type of a thing to evaluate. You know, short sale versus bankruptcy, it's going to depend upon what their intentions are with the home. Are they just looking to get rid of it and move on to that next chapter of their lives? In that case, a short sale might make a whole lot of sense.
Right.
Foreclosures, particularly in the state where I am in New Jersey, take a very long time to complete. And one thing I'm always telling people when they're coming in my office is, people need to remember that the date that the foreclosure complaint is filed doesn't mean they no longer own the house. They own that house until that sheriff's sale takes place, until that deed transfers ownership over to the purchaser.
Right.
So you can end up with issues with homeowners associations. You can end up with municipal issues where, you know, the city's now coming in and cutting your grass and sending you a $150 bill for it.
Oh, yeah.
There's all sorts of things that can happen during that time lag. So if you're ready to move on, there aren't other consumer debt issues going on, a short sale might make a whole lot of sense to be able to put that behind you and move forward.
Okay. We've got a caller on the line here, Jenny from Arizona. I want to take her question, but I want to explore a little bit further the potential, potential unity or potential asset that both attorneys and real estate agents can be in, potentially working through a short sale in conjunction with a bankruptcy, possibly. Jenny, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. There we go. What's your question, Jenny?
I have a question in regards to my husband is being deployed to Afghanistan, and we have two loans on our property. I didn't know if, A, that would be a reason for short sale, and how are two loans workable on a short sale?
Very good question.
Great question, Jenny. That's a pretty easy question. The great thing about the short sale, the vehicle of the short sale, it does allow you to settle the second loan for something that you would probably never get in terms of the bank's terms on the settlement with just calling them up. If you called your second lender and said, hey, I want to settle my $30,000 debt for $5,000, they'd probably laugh at you if that was all you're trying to do. But through the short sale, the beautiful thing about it is when we work both loans with the short sale, we work with both your lenders, and the short sale allows the second lien to be settled for literally pennies on the dollar. A good general rule of thumb is about 8 to 10% of the balance you owe on your second. And we typically are very, very successful at negotiating that amount of money. We get that from the first to go to pay towards the second, so that the homeowner hopefully comes out of pocket with absolutely nothing out of pocket. So it's a very powerful tool. Great question, but we've done that many, many times, and it's not that difficult.
Jenny,
for us.
Question for you. Are you looking to keep the house, or are you looking to sell the house?
Probably sell, because I, too, will have to relocate. So I just want to make sure that I necessarily don't have a hardship, but I am having to move.
Okay. That actually, I think, it invokes a good segue to Chapter 13 and how you can potentially deal with second loans. You want to deal with that for us here, Kim?
Sure. In a Chapter 13, in certain circumstances where the equity is not enough to cover both the first and second. So a mortgage is generally a secured loan. When you purchase a home or get a home equity loan, you're putting up your house as collateral for that loan. So if your value of your home has decreased or depreciated to the extent where maybe it's not even enough to cover the first loan, so you're underwater on your first mortgage and your second mortgage or home equity loan is now fully unsecured, in certain circumstances, we are able to go in and file a motion to have that lien, we call it lien stripping, to have that recategorized from a secured debt to an unsecured debt. So you can change the treatment of how you're going to handle or tolerate that loan through the bankruptcy process. In certain circumstances, depending upon what your plan is going to look like, that can be a significant cost savings to the homeowner.
Excellent, excellent.
And just butting into James, Jenny's question is definitely, that is a qualified hardship. Relocation, Jenny, is definitely a qualified hardship, so you would absolutely qualify up front to go through the short sale process.
Wow. Perfect. All right, then. Well, Ms. Cedillo, tell us a little bit, or is there anything else you wanted to or thought the audience should know about possibly filing bankruptcy or loss mitigation and trying to deal with a distressed home?
Again, it's important for homeowners to know what all of their options are. So consulting with an attorney is certainly something to do. Most bankruptcy attorneys offer consultations that are free of charge. So a distressed homeowner looking to determine what their options are has nothing to lose but maybe about an hour or so of their time. And maybe bankruptcy is a great option for them, and maybe it's not. And I see both sides. I see people come in, and they're great candidates for bankruptcy, and I see people coming in that have, you know, distressed homeowners that are coming in that just aren't good candidates for bankruptcy, and we let them know that. We're not here to push and sell and shove bankruptcy down people's faces. It needs to be understood that it's potentially an option that they have, and it has its risks and rewards, just as everything else does in life.
So if someone wanted to contact you, how would they get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me through our firm's website, MacellyWarren.com. I also blog about bankruptcy at KimSadeo.com.
Okay, and can you repeat the name of your firm?
Sure, it's Macelli Warren.
Macelli Warren.
And, and my personal blog on bankruptcy and personal finance issues is Kim Sadeo. So it's K-I-M-S-D-E-O. The funny last name that's missing a vowel.
Okay, so but now we know how to pronounce it correctly. Great. All right, what I want to just make sure the audience understands is something. You guys just give me 10 seconds or less confirmation or deploring this comment, but whenever you're engaging in a situation of this nature, you generally want to have a team of professionals. If you're looking to sell your house, you definitely want a real estate agent who's going to know the nuances of the market, how to sell the house. But at the same time, you likely want to have an attorney involved to discuss the legal ramifications, because you've got to deal with the taxes, you've got to deal with the creditors, and you've got to deal with potentially other legal ramifications of the situation. So we're about to head into our next commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Mr. Varney Barker, the author of New Rules of Home Ownership. And what we're going to do is discuss how the paradigm has shifted. This isn't your mom's and dad's, or definitely not your grandmother's and grandfather's America, the days of just getting the job and buying the house and just sitting there behind your white picket fence on the Ford in the rocking chair with the lemonade and the grandkids. Wow, it's making me reminisce. are well past it. So I'd like to talk with them about what do we need to do today to own our homes. We'll be back in a couple of seconds.
Voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Bankruptcy, real estate, injuries. Are your legal problems keeping you up at night? There is no law firm more dedicated to seeing you receive a desired outcome than the team of attorneys and legal professionals at Andrews Law. With over a decade of extensive professional experience, we are focused on giving our clients expert service and reasonably priced solutions to their legal woes. Our practice serves clients throughout the United States. We also deal with immigration and estate planning matters. We take pride in our successes and will always be honest, even if that means telling you that your case will not have the outcome you desire. Spanish speaking? We have resources to assist clients and communities who speak several languages, including French, Creole, and Farsi. If you need help, call us today to schedule a consultation. We can quickly determine the most cost-effective, efficient, and hard-hitting course of action for you. Don't settle for less. Get the best legal advice in difficult times. Call Andrews Law at 1-888-955-9111. That's 1-888-955-9111. Or visit AndrewsLawPLC.com. Andrews Law. Communication. Competence. Commitment.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Tuned in to Legal Sense with James Andrews. If you have a question or comment for our show today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to legalsense@andrewslawplc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. We're now going to start a discussion here with Mr. J. Varney Barker, the author of New Rules of Home Ownership for the 21st Century, Transforming Your Home into Wealth-Creating Assets. How are you this morning, Mr. Barker?
I'm very well, and I'm pleased to be with you and you, the other guests as well.
Excellent. Same to you. Same to you. So tell us, why did you write this book? Well, what made you say, let me author some, what is it, about some 400 pages?
Wow. Well, let me summarize this by suggesting the following. Let me give you just paint for your picture. Just imagine when everything is going well for you. There are no hardships. There are no difficulties. You've embraced the American dream. You've embraced the principles of entrepreneurship. Everything is going well. And suddenly, without any foreknowledge, everything is lost. You're completely homeless. You lost everything. You've managed corporations. You've owned businesses and whatnot. You were the one actually who gave directions and counsels. and now you find yourself in a very perilous situation. That is my story. Approximately 6.5 years ago, I lost everything, lost my business, became homeless as a consequence of poor business decision. That's why I believe that shows such as yours are extremely important. Understand legal issues. They're extremely important. The absence of not having a good partnership agreement landed me in a very bad situation, and I lost everything.
Okay.
But what's profoundly impacting for me was the fact that as I was going through all of these experiences, I started writing rather than becoming angry and vindictive, if you will, and dispensing of my anger quite destructively, I started writing, and I ended up writing 1,800 pages of manuscripts. When I sent them all out to the publisher, they suggested to me that I had written 3 books in one, and hence the 3 books were then segregated into the new rules of home ownership for the 21st century, the new rules of career, income, and employment for the 21st century, and the ultimate foreclosure recovery plan. So that's how we came about. It was experiential knowledge, if you will, but also practical experience. And so what I like to do today, if you will, is to be the controversial voice, so to speak.
Okay.
Well, and everything we've heard so far, I believe, is reactive.
Right.
The marketplace has forever changed. Our nation has been affected in ways that we cannot even imagine as it relates to housing and home ownership. There has to be now a new paradigm.
So
successful and sustainable home ownership.
Talk to us about that, because you say that there's a way to transform your home into a true asset, whereas what we've been discussing is just discussing it as a distressed asset or, in fact, a liability. What do you mean by that?
Well, certainly. The home itself, well, first of all, we must now begin to change both the perception and the practical function of home ownership. Home ownership now must serve two distinct purposes. In today's 21st century market environment, the home, yes, must accomplish the psychological goal of providing you with the comfort that you get from obtaining a home. But more importantly, the home now must serve as the basis for financial security. There's just no way around it. Any other way to perceive it, I believe, is a misguided approach. The home now, everyone that I've interviewed as it relates to home ownership has suggested that, yes, I like a dwelling, but I also want my home to serve and provide me with the kinds of financial securities. It consumes about 80, 90, and sometimes 100% of an individual's giving income or family's income, if you will, greatest potential asset.
Okay.
So the home must serve now in today's market environment those two distinct purposes. One, serve as a shelter, and also serve as a basis for literally securing the financial future
of
the financial independence of family.
So how does one own a debt-free house or get a mortgage-free home?
Well, you own a debt-free home by accomplishing two things. One, by, if you will, subscribing to and adhering to the principles that we've outlined. We've defined what we call the 21st century model for successful and sustainable home ownership. And that is an eight-part process that undergirds everything you do. It encompasses the legal issues that you just discussed, asset protection, estate planning. We start first with a strategic plan for home ownership, meaning you'd never go into investment exercise without anticipating or planning for level of success or calculating risk. It is only with home ownership now that we proceed with home ownership without first evaluating potential risks. Home ownership is either going to adversely or positively affect your financial condition.
Right.
And so we must begin to start all of the home ownership exercises with a plan for being successful, a winning plan, a blueprint for successful home ownership.
Okay. So what you're saying to me basically is we need to get back to basics with our home ownership. When we're looking to purchase a home, we need to assess, you know, what our true financial capacity is, you know, whether this house finance is going to put us in a positive or negative financial situation. Is that what we're hearing?
That is absolutely correct. But also, not just for those persons who are buying a home. A part of the strategy actually is what I define as understanding the home ownership life cycle. There's a life cycle that's associated with home ownership, and every individual, whether you're buying or you currently own a home, is very precisely one point or another within the home ownership cycle. For example, here's a misnomer. You sign a purchase agreement or you close on your mortgage and you are a homeowner. That's a misnomer. You're not a homeowner. That begins the legal obligation for a mortgage or mortgage debt. you own a homeowner, you truly own that home, or the mortgage is completely liquidated. Now, I know that we could argue this and become a matter of semantics, but the reality is that we do not own that home until such time as the mortgage is entirely liquidated. So in today's economic environment, you must pursue homeownership, whether you currently own or you're looking to buy. You must include the element of mortgage acceleration and or mortgage liquidation.
Okay. So, and it looks like we're running really short on time here, which I hate because there's a number of poignant questions I wanted to throw out here. Let me ask you this. What's your comment on bankruptcy or short sale or deed in lieu for a homeowner who's distressed right now trying to figure out what they should do?
Right now, I would say yes, those are applicable and beneficial information. But going into the future, you must position yourself such that a short sale will never even occur, such as a bankruptcy will become completely irrelevant because you would manage your home to the extent that neither of these scenarios will become applicable into your financial structure.
And, of course, I want to ask you how, but we unfortunately don't have time to go into that. So tell us really quickly then, how can our listeners get their hands on your book?
The best way is to go to the website, newrulesofhomeownership.com, newrulesofhomeownership.com.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to give each of you 20 seconds here just to say, give us the listeners a parting message. Let's go ahead and start with Kelly.
Well, I just thank you, James, for being here, for letting me be on the show here today. And I just really encourage people to look at the situation. Again, like you said, James, to contact professionals in their specific fields that have knowledge to do this day in and day out for a living, and get the most sound advice you possibly can before making a decision. And that starts with, you know, certain things like knowing what your home value is, knowing based upon if you have equity or not, what your options are. And then go from there. So I appreciate the time, and thank you for having me on.
Appreciate it. Ms. Kim Cidio.
Yes, thank you, James, as well. It's been a pleasure to be on the show. You know,
pleasure
again, I'm
going
to play off of what Kelly was saying. Educate yourself. You know, don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call up an attorney and figure out what your options are and figure out a strategy. And do it early. Don't wait until you're served with that foreclosure complaint. Don't wait until that sheriff's sale notice is being received by you. The more time you have to play with, the better off and the better options and the more options you're going to have. And maybe that's going to include bankruptcy. Maybe it's going to include a short sale. Maybe it's going to be something where you're able to work out a loan modification with your lender, and you can move forward that way.
Excellent. And Mr. Barker, what a parting shot.
Parting shot is simply that the rules of home ownership have forever changed. Now, you must really begin to understand that the market environment is completely different. You must educate yourself, as she just said, and then you must be able now to work towards completely owning your home outright, as opposed to being subjected to, if you will, the predatory tendencies that we've seen in the marketplace in the past.
Excellent. So I think if I was just to summarize it all, I would say information is power. You know, talk with your agents, talk with your attorneys, you know, read your books, you know, get as much information as you can and apply it to your specific situation. Then don't be scared to confront it. You know, the worst thing that happens, as I see, is the client that walks into my office who's been getting messages for the last year, last 3 months. You know, I've had people walk in for 2 years have been receiving those notices and have buried their heads in the sand. You know, get your head out of the sand, go talk to someone, and a solution is out there for you. Don't let it consume you. Consume it, confront it, and life will progress. But thank you out there for listening to the second episode here, Legal Sense with James Andrews, where we help to make the law make sense for you as well as other practical matters. And we look forward to seeing you, or look forward to having you tune in for our show next week, where we'll be discussing, I think we'll be discussing some issues of immigration. If not, we'll be right back here discussing some issues of finance, which is right up our alley, and we'll be providing some more legal sense that makes sense to you. Have a good week.
Thank you again for joining us this week on Legal Sense. James Andrews will be back again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help sort out the entire legal process, one program at a time.